some new material. The topic of who are you mechuyev to give more honor to, your father or your grandfather? Okay, I'll tell you a simple story, a very simple story. Megan Havdallah. Okay, here's the story. You invite to your home your Vashala Shuddis. You invite your son, it's Hanukkah, and you all go to the grandparents for Hanukkah. Okay, let's say you're going to the grandparents for Hanukkah, you have your children and your grandchildren, and you're having Shalosh Shuddis. Then you go to Shul, you have a Maariv, and you come back home and you make Havdalah. This is the true story. This is what it says here in the story. The story, and the grandfather says, you know, my grandson, you're a chassan. You're engaged, you're a kala, you have a kala. Soon you're going to get married and you're going to have to make Havdalah for your wife at home. So, you know, it's a great opportunity tonight to practice. Okay, so again, yeah, this was the maisa. The grandfather Hanukkah made a nice su'uda, a nice Hanukkah Shabbos retreat for his children, grandchildren. They all came over to the house, and they destroyed the house by taking apart every little, you know, all the grandchildren took apart every everything which can be taken apart that's below 2 feet from the ground was completely obliterated. Every book. Every drawer, every door, completely obliterated, and everything's all. And now it's time for Havdalah. Mark, when the children, the grandchildren come, this is nachas. When they leave, this is relief. So now it's time. They will go to shul. They daven ma'ariv, and they come back from ma'ariv. And the chassan, the grandson, one of the grandchildren is a chassan. So the grandfather says, you know, you're getting married in a couple of weeks. Let's practice Havdalah. You know how to make Havdalah? You know which hand you hold the cup in, which hand you hold the Ner, the Besamim. You have to switch hands. It's very not so easy to make Havdalah. You hold everything in the right hand. And when you come to Borei Minei Besamim, you're supposed to switch. You're supposed to put the cup into the left hand, pick up the Besamim in the right hand, and then you make Borei Minei Besamim. Then comes the candle. We do the candle, different minhagim. Some do the same thing. You hold the kais in the right hand, the candle in the other hand. Some put it down because you want to use both hands to look at the or. Some hold not, whatever it is. Okay, whatever. So you practice. So the grandson, we're going to practice Havdalah. So the grandson makes Havdalah. He makes Bor Priyagof. Now comes the Borei Mine Besamim. He makes the bracha. He smells the Besamim. And he sees in front of him his father. And his grandfather, who does he give the besamim to now? Does he give it to his father, or does he give it to his grandfather? What's the shaila? Kibud avo aim. That binstock. What would you do? What?
Pasuk says openly, kabed es ovicha besamim.
No, there's a
question. Very
good. No. That's, you're saying good. What?
If you give it to your father, then your father should give it to his father. So you're giving problems.
But if A equals B and B equals C, Shibudu Rabbi Nosson, if I owe Ruvain money and Ruvain owes Shimon money, right. So the halach is I give the money straight to Shimon. Right. Shimon can come and collect from me. What?
Yes, of course.
Okay, that's part of the discussion. So that's we're going to discuss this right now. So that's exactly the question over here. This is a Maishal Chayyu. So he made Bori Minei Besam. In front of him is his father and grandfather, and he looks. Should I give it to my father? Should I give it to my grandfather? Mitzad Echa. Dr. Binenstock says it says in the pasuk Kabeid Es Avicha V'Es Imecha. It does not say in the Torah Kabeid Es Avicha. Does not say that. So therefore, you have a chiv to give honor to your father. V'zehu. Mitzad Sheni, your father has an obligation to give kavod to his father. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you're going to give it to your father, and then your father, L'chaira, will right away, you have to assume, is going to give it to his father. So we're wasting time over here. Let's skip the middleman, and let's give it what my father would want me to do. Shibud the Rabbi Nosson. I'll go give it straight to the grandfather. He's the senior person. And also, maybe you want to combine, you know, you can add this as a sniff, is whose house is this? This is my grandfather's house. Who's the one that was mechabed me to make Havdalah? My grandfather. This is the bias of the grandfather. This is not the bias of the father. So maybe you can add that to the calculation. My grandfather, it's his house. He's the one that was going to make Havdalah. He is the one who gave me this honor. So therefore, I'm going to reciprocate. I have to reciprocate to the one that, that gave me the kibbutz. All right, that's a small
put
different...
Put it down and see who takes it.
Interesting, okay? So what do you do? You know what Meir would do? I know what Meir would do. Meir would give it to the grandmother. And let the grandmother do whatever she wants. Okay? Give it to the grandmother, yeah. Okay, that's maybe part of the calculation. It's part of the calculation. So in the story that happened that triggered this whole conversation, what happened was the son was holding the besamim and he looked at his father, he looked at his grandfather, and he got lucky because his father immediately nodded to give it to the grandfather. So it was a shaila, but it opened up a nice topic of conversation. Next Hanukkah, when you go to the Zayde for Shalosh Shudis and you come back and you make Havdalah, and the grandfather says, you make Havdalah, practice, make Havdalah, what do you do? So this is truthfully, it's a big, big topic. Over here, we once discussed this, and we have now new material. And part of the material comes from this week's parasha. There's a very critical, this topic of the way it's presented here in Shleimim Mitzion, my favorite sefer now, from Rabbi Felder, beautiful, beautiful sefer. He brings out a lot, this touches upon so many different areas in halacha, in medrash, in hashkafa. It's a sugya which encompasses everything. There's a lot of everything in the sugya. Mayor, what are you doing? You're here virtually and you're here on... Yeah, I see
no,
you
on. Just checking out the thing.
Okay, so we have over here. Dr. Bittenstock. Okay, let's go through the sugi now. Now the first thing is it's very extremely relevant to this week's parasha, because in this week's parasha it says that when Yaakov Avinu descended to Egypt after the revelation that he owed Yosef, Hashem, he says, I'm going to go down. Hashem appears to Yaakov and Hashem says, don't be afraid, go down to Egypt. And when he wakes up from this vision, he offers a korban. And it says in Rashi, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo vayovo be'erashova. Vayizbach zvachem l'lokei aviv Yitzhak. He offers sacrifices to the God of his father Yitzchok. The Messiah, he's going to bring now a carbon to Hashem. Who is Hashem? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. So here, you see, Yaakov had a very short Shemon Esrei. Could you imagine? His Shemon Esrei was Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokei Nu, Elokei Avosein, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok. That's it. He didn't have to say Elokei Yaakov, because he was Yaakov. Can you imagine living during those days? It was Shemon Esrei. It takes half the time. Shemon Esrei. It was a short davening. It took a half the time because he did not have to say Elokei Yaakov. Okay, you had skipped those words. So you're Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. And lo and behold, you know what he did? When he davened Shemon Esrei, he said Elokei Yitzchak. He skipped Elokei Avraham. What? How could you skip Elokei Avraham in the Shemon Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham. How could you skip Avraham? Rashi is the kasha. Rashi is quoting a medrash, and then Rashi says, "Elokei Aviv Yitzchak." These are the words of the Halakha of Rashi. Everything is in Rashi. I'm telling you everything you need to know about life. Rashi on Pasuk Perik Mem, Pasuk Aleph, Perik Mem Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Mark always was very good. Mark. Mark never does not trust me for anything. He would not trust me with a penny. Very good. You're very good. This is the way everyone should be like this. Everyone should be like this. Halavai, halavai.
He lied on purpose to test us, and halfway through the shiur, finally somebody raised his hand and asked the question. It says, I don't understand, because he said, thank God somebody said, just because I said it, you believe me. I lied. I told you this is, I based the whole shiur on a fallacy, I'm waiting for somebody to say something. Rav Henoch Leibowitz, he gave a shiur on Friday morning. That was the shiur.
Today we live in a world where it's misinformation. Have you challenged, I lie? You know, they'll censor you. Okay. So therefore, what does Rashi say? Rashi over here says, look, Rashi is the question. The Perish Rashi is quoting a Medrash. It's a Medrash. It's not in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a Medrash. With the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see what says the Shulchan Aruch in a second. The Medrash is, look, Avri Yitzchak, Chayiv Adam, Bechvoid Aviv, Yoyser, Mi Bechvoid Zikenoi. Lefichach, Tole Bi Yitzchak, Viloy Be Avraham. The reason why he said Elokei Yitzchak and did not mention Elokei, the verse is a question, why didn't he say Elokei? What does Rashi really mean to say? Why didn't it say Elokei Avoy Sov? Why didn't Yaakov say B'loshan Rabin? Elokei Avoy Sov. Or say Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov. Why did he only say Elokei Yitzchak? He Vayizbach Zvachim L'Elokei Aviv. Why only Aviv? Aviv, not Avoy Sov. To teach you a halacha, that you are obligated to give kavod to your father more. Rashi's words are very precise. That's what it says in the Medrash. Yoyser. It doesn't say in Rashi, chayiv adam to give kavod to your father, and you're not chayiv to give kavod to your grandfather. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the word yoyser. The word yoyser, obviously, that this word, he's not, Rashi's not saying his own. This is what it says in the Medrash. The word yoyser teaches you that you are mechuyif, the Medrash understands that you are indeed obligated to give kavod to your grandfather. It's just that you're obligated to give more kavod to your father than to your grandfather. Question, why? Dr. Bienenstock, where in the Torah does it say anywhere that a person has a duty to give kavod to his grandfather? It says kabed es avicha v'es imecha. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah kabed es avicha. Okay, so this, so now let's discuss something theoretical. Okay, so it doesn't say, so now let's say something theoretical. Let's make believe for argument's sake. Let's skip a step. Okay, for a moment we're going to skip. Let's make believe for argument's sake that we will discover a source somewhere that there's an obligation to give kavod to a grandfather. Now let's make a chakira, a lamda shel chakira. If there would be a chiyuv to give honor to a grandfather, is that obligation, if there would be an obligation in it of itself, you have to give kavod to a grandfather, just the fact that he is a grandfather, an independent obligation to give kavod to a grandfather? Or if we will discover somehow, some way, that there's an obligation to give kavod to a grandfather, maybe it's only because of the chain rule. It's not the grandfather, really. I don't know from you. What do I know from you? I don't know anything about you. But because I have an obligation in the Torah to give kavod to my father, and my father has an obligation to give kavod to his father, so by process, there's a shkol shibud Rabbi Nosson. There's a logic behind this. If I have to give kavod to my father, and my father has to give kavod to his father, it's logical that I also have a duty to give kavod to my grandfather. Because the kavod I give to my father is the kavod that he gives to his father. It's a logical extension. Now, we have a chakira. Is it that the grandfather has an independent obligation to the grandfather? Or is it no? My father, he has to give kavod. I have to give kavod to my father. And what does my father want from me? It's that I should do what he's supposed to do. If he's supposed to give kavod to his father, so it goes up another generation. Now, what would be a nafkamina? A nafkamina would be, let's say the father dies, Achman Litzlan, and there's only a grandfather left. There's no longer a father, but there is a grandfather. Is there an obligation for a grandson to give honor to a grandfather when there is no father? So if you learn that a grandfather is an independent, there's an independent obligation for a person to give kavod to his grandfather, then even though there is no father, chain has been broken, the father is no longer living, the grandfather is here, you have to give kavod. But if you learn that the entire concept of giving kavod to a grandfather is only because you have to give kavod to a father, and the father has an obligation to give to the grandfather, if the chain has been broken, then there's no longer an obligation to give kavod to a grandfather at all. Because I have no chiv anymore. There's no chiv. Kabeid es avich v'yasimecha. You want to go tell me there's a chiv to give kavod to a father after he dies? You know, you can argue that. Okay, there is something to it. Okay, we'll get to you. What are you talking about? Husband or father? Or if there's no longer a father, that mitzvah on a very simple level has come to an end. Kabeid es avicha. Okay, I know. Obviously, there is no question about it. An element of giving kavod to a parent after they passed away by living a good life and being a tzaddik, and people will say, "Oh, ooh, gedilim shagidaltem." There's no. Okay, there's definitely something to it. But on a very simple level, you're supposed to give kavod to a living person. Person is no longer here. So that person, the only reason why I give kavod to my grandfather is because my father has an obligation to give kavod to his father. But my father is no longer has an obligation because my father is no longer in this world. So therefore, you can't go tell me to do what my father would have done because my father is no longer obligated. He's no longer here. The chain has been broken. Okay, so now let's look at another piece,
before we discuss this theoretical question, we need to find a marker. I told you we're going to skip a step.
So we're going to come. I told you on purpose we're going to skip a step. I did it for a reason. We're going to skip a step. What's the makar?
The Yosef's kids by Yaakov.
It just says the fact, Albirke Yosef. You'll do Albirke Yosef. That Yosef, he was leaving the great grandchildren. That wasn't Ephraim and Menashe. It says Vigam. It says that the children of Ephraim and Menashe, who is their sandik? Yaakov, the Elter Zeder. The Elter Zeder was the sandik for the grandchildren of Yosef. The Yuldu Albirke, I don't remember what it says exactly, in Parashat Vayechi. Okay, that's the din of a sandikois, and that was what he gave him. Doesn't mean that's an obligation. You want to say it's an obligation to give kavod? All right, we'll discuss a couple of things. All right, let's discuss. First, there are many, many different things, different parts. Let's go one thing at a time. Let's go to a very popular Gemara in Masechta Makos. Gemara Makos is the following. The Gemara points out a contradiction between two different members. So maybe two different brisos. I don't know if a members or brisos. And that is, what happens if a father accidentally kills his son? Rachmana Litzlan. A father... He kills his son. So what happens when a person kills someone accidentally? He has an obligation to go to Ari Miklat. What happens if he chooses not to go to Ari Miklat? It's a halacha. The Goyel Hadam is allowed to kill the murderer. Even though the murder was inadvertent, it was accidental. It's halacha. The halacha is the Goyel Hadam is entitled to take the law into his own hands. Vigilantism. Is that how you pronounce it? Mm-hmm. To take the law into your own hands and kill the perpetrator. Now, what has...
Could the son kill the father?
What?
Could the son...
Oh, that's the question. So here, look at that. Here we have a contradiction. Here's what it says in the Brice. Two Brices in Masechta Makos. A father killed his son. So now, the father doesn't want to go to Ari Miklat. He doesn't want to go. Who is the Goyel Hadam, the closest relative of the person who died? Well, there can be many different close relatives. There can be a brother. A brother is a Goyel Hadam. And you can be a wife, it's true, or even a son. So it says in one Braisa that the son, it's a little bit vague who the son is. The son is permitted to kill the rotzeach. And it says in another braisa, just the opposite. The Gemara says, Tana chada benoi can be the goyel hadam, v'tanya idach, the benoi cannot kill the father. Contradiction. So the Gemara says, loy kasha, there is no difficulty. Who is the benoi? Is it the benoi of the horug, or the benoi of the roitzeach, which would then mean the brother? Let's explain. It says, the Braisa that says that the Ben cannot be the Goyal Hadam is when it says the word Benoi, it means the son of the murderer. The son of the murderer is the brother of the victim. Father kills his son. The father has two sons. The father accidentally kills one son. Who is the closest relative? The brother. Who is the brother? The brother is also the son. A brother means that you share the same father. So it says you're not allowed to kill your father. If the closest relative is the brother of the victim, the brother of the victim happens to be the son of the murderer. So that would mean the Goyal Hadam is now going to kill his own father. The Gemara says you're not allowed to kill your father. Oh, but the father, but there's a Midin Doer Aisa of the Goyal Hadam. The Goyal Hadam is allowed to kill, if he doesn't want to go to Golis, the Goyal Hadam is allowed to kill the murderer. That does not override the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. Does not override.
Well, one is an option and one is a mitzvah.
Yeah, there's another machloikis in the Gemara. There's a machloikis in the Gemara. Is the Goyal Hadam a reshus or is it a mitzvah? Let's put that aside. Either or. Even if it's a mitzvah. Even if it's a reshus, for sure. For sure you can't go kill your father. Even if it's a mitzvah. Even if there's a mitzvah, l'shem yichud, I'm going to kill you because I'm the Goyal Hadam and you killed someone by accident. I'm going to kill you, l'shem yichud, kud shabrichu shchidi b'dechilu. No, you can't go kill your father.
But he can make a heaven.
What?
Exactly.
It doesn't override. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Masech Makos explicitly says that the Goyal Hadam is the brother of the victim and he wants to kill his father. He's not allowed to. There is no mitzvah in this case. It's a problem. A person accidentally killed another human being. He doesn't want to go to Ari Miklat. You know, not every problem has a solution. But it's not a solution for a child, to a brother, to get up and kill his own father. Not necessarily. It's not necessarily totally zebezeb. It's a machloikis. It's a machloikis if it's a mitzvah or if it's a rishus. So even if you want to say it's a mitzvah lechayra, this mitzvah you don't do. Not every mitzvah do you do. You don't kill your father. But it says in another braisa beferish that the son is permitted to kill the rotzeach. So the Gemara says that's the benoi of the horuk. Which means, let's say there is no brother. Who is the Goyal Hadam? The son of the victim. The father kills his son. The closest relative to the victim, to the dead man, is the dead man's own child. So the dead man's own child now wants to kill his grandfather. The grandfather. Right? That you're allowed. We learned in another Braisa that the grandson, the Benoi, is allowed to be the Goyal Hadam. That's the, when it says Benoi, it's the Benoi Shel Horug of the victim. He is allowed to get up and kill his grandfather. So we get it. Let's review. We have over here two Maimori Chazal. One, a person kills his child. And now there's a mitzvah for the Goyal Hadam to take revenge, to exact vengeance, to take the law into his own hand and kill the murderer. So the question, let's say it's his, so we have two brides. One bride says that Benoi is allowed, is mechuyif to be, whatever it says, allow mechuyif to be the Goyal Hadam. And the other bride says that the Benoi is not allowed. Stira, the Gemara is loikasha. Ha, Benoi shel the Horug, and ha, Benoi shel Rotzeach. If it's the Benoi shel Rotzeach, it's Osur. But if it's the Benoi Shel, the Horug, the victim, so that makes the Goyal Hadam to the one that he wants to kill, the grandfather, you're allowed. Frekt, who is the question? All the Mepharshim is the question, so we have, what's the Chilik? It says in Rashi in Chumash, which really is the Medrash, it says in Rashi is that Chayva dem Bichvoid Aviv, Yoyser Mechvoid Zikenoi. Which means Yoyser, which means the chiv to give cover to your father and your grandfather. So the mechiv to give cover to your father and your grandfather. So the same way, you give kavod to your father, and you're not allowed to kill your father. The benoy shel roitzeach is not allowed to be the goyel adam. The zelbezach, the benoy shel harug, is not allowed, should not be allowed, since he is a chiyuv of kibud avoim. The only difference is yoiser, not yoiser. The only chilik is yoiser, but it's a level. Which one comes first? But there's the same chiyuv. It's the same way. You can't kill your father. You can't kill your grandfather. And here it says beferush in the Gemara that you're allowed to kill the grandfather. Are you talking? So what's going on? We have a contradiction. So here, this is big topic here. Here it appears at face value a machloikis between a medrash and a Talmud and a section of the Talmud Bavli. It's not the first time. There are many times when you find halachos that are cited incidentally in the Medrash, which are contradictions to what it says in the Talmud Bavli. Who wins? Why Talmud Bavli? Why? Okay, I guess because in the Medrash, why would you say Talmud? The Medrash came first. What? Okay, so you have to see who says it. Okay.
By the way, there is an interesting piece of Gemara that says, Erushim on the Gemara say that there's one halacha, I forgot where it is exactly, I believe it's in Kedusha, nothing to do with this topic, but the Bavli and the Rishalmi disagree, it says, they asked the question on the Bavli, how could they argue with the Rishalmi?
Okay.
And the answer is, the Mepharshim give an answer to say, because they didn't know what the Rishalmi said, but had they known what the Rishalmi said, they would have held differently.
That's a tremendous chish. Yeah, tremendous chish.
I learned that.
Okay, that's another big topic. When you have machlokes, the Bavli and the Rishalmi, what is the halacha? Tosfos, many times Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi sometimes.
Right.
Okay, this is a big topic in the Seder of Piske Halacha, how we carry weight. Right, it's part of the equation of the halachic process.
They never would have said that. The Gemara just didn't know what the Yerushalmi said, because if they knew, Yerushalmi came first, and they would know that, they never would have.
Okay, it ended first. The Yerushalmi ended first.
Yeah.
Right, this is a different question.
It's black and white.
This is Medrash, so
it
appears at face value to be a direct conflict between the Medrash and the Talmud Bavli. And therefore, the question is, who is going to win? Who will win out the debate? So let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? In Shulchan Aruch, there's a Ramah. The Ramah says, okay, let me find the Shulchan Aruch, a quotation from the Ramah. Okay, here's the Ramah. The Ramah obviously is in Yeridaya. We're in Yeridaya. Hopefully it would say over here exactly. You can go look it up. Look up exact words of Yeridaya. Okay. Wait one second. Let me find the Ramah. I gotta find the Ramah over here. Here it is. Ramah. Yeridaya Simon Reishmem. You can look it up. Mark Reishmem. Mark. Mem is Mark. Rabbi Mark. Reishmem, Rabbi Mark. Reishmem Sif Chav Dalet. Sif Chav Dalet. It says, it quotes the Medrash. It says in the Medrash, Shechayiv, this is the Mechaber. The Beis Yosef, the Mechaber writes, Shechayiv B'chvoid Aviv, Yoiser Mechvoid Avi Aviv. It quotes the Medrash word for word. The person is chayiv to give cover to his father more than his grandfather. So that would mean, when your father and your grandfather ask you both to have a cup of coffee, or by the case of besamim, you're making havdalah and you want to give the besamim your father and grandfather, who do you give the besamim to? You give it first to your father. That's what the Mechaber says. Shechayiv b'chvoid aviv yoyser b'chvoid avi aviv. Then it says yeshoimrim de'ein adam chayiv. By the way, this is the Ramah. I made a mistake. This is the Ramah. The Mechaber doesn't say any of this. The Mechaber is silent. Okay, he's silent on this topic. Let's get some tissues. I have the sniffles. Okay. So he says over here, the Ramah, the Yeshaimrim. Let me find the place again, lost again over here. The Ramah says the Yeshaimrim, some say the only the Ramah. Chayev b'chvoid aviv v'yoyse b'chvoid avi aviv. Then he goes on. Kedarko, he always says those the yeshayim, the ain adam chayev b'chvoid avi aviv. This is from the Marik. The Marik says there's no such thing as giving kavod to your grandfather. No such thing. It's a nice thing to do. There's no halacha. The ain oy nearly, the Ramah says, I disagree with the Marik. Who is the Marik? I don't know who the Marik was. He quotes me over 100 times, the Marik. It's very, very big pasuk, obviously. Goyim shebegoyinim. Ve'einoy nearly, the Ramah rejects the Marik. Ella, dechayiv bechvoid aviv yoyse bechvoid avi aviv. He repeats himself a second time, and he cites the Medrash, and this Medrash that we've learned over here. So the Ramah was kind enough, he quotes the Medrash, and he cites the fact that there are people who disagree with the Medrash, the Marik. And then he rejects, he says, that's not correct. There's a Medrash, and the Medrash is the Iker. The question is, the Taz, right here on this simon, he says, oh, excuse me, how can you, it's very taka true, what you're saying over here. And the taka agrees, the Taz agrees with the Ramah, and the Taz just wants to rub it into the Marik. He takes sides with the Ramah, and he says, you've quoted this Marik that says there's no chiyuv. And he says something shocking what the Taz says. He says, V'eich nela mimenu perish Rashi b'chumash. Shekoysev mefurish ha'odam chay b'chvoid avi av. This is a very atypical Taz. To go and insult a gadol, he doesn't even know chumash Rashi. Wow, isn't this very, very atypical, such a thing to do, such a thing like this. You know, one of the favorite things, you know, I like about Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro, the one who created Daf Yomi. What was this? I'm telling you a lie now, but I'm not so sure I'm lying to you. I'm going to tell you a fantasy thing. Because they always talk about the Chofetz Chaim said that he's not Mekane Rav Meir Shapiro. For making the Daf Yomi. He's not Mekane him. What is Mekane is, what is Mekane the mitzvah that he did? And then in that zuchus, he was zoiche to be mechadesh, the Daf Yomi, and for it to be accepted in Klal Yisrael. Right, the Chofetz Chaim, who gets credit for Daf Yomi, by the way? Who is the one that really gets credit for Daf Yomi? Chofetz Chaim. Isn't it amazing? I mean, it is mind-boggling. The Chofetz Chaim's fingerprints are basically on every single thing that we do today. The Chofetz Chaim revolutionized the study of halacha like none other. The Chofetz Chaim revolutionized the study of kachim. The whole brisk, was all about kachim the whole day. What's the Chofetz Chaim's influence? Is that we have to get ready for Mashiach to come. It's going to be in Bushu Chlim, Mashiach will come. We're not going to even know the first thing about bringing korbanos. So there's a whole world out there that all they do the whole day is they learn all the brisk. It's all about kachim. The Chofetz Chaim is the one that gave that put into motion the study of Daf Yomi. With this whole technique, you're going to come to the Knesiyah Gedolah, about 100 years ago, I don't remember exactly which Knesiyah Gedolah was, and he says, you're going to come late, and when you come late, I'm going to stand up, and when I stand up, everyone's going to stand up, and they're going to take you seriously, and the Daf Yomi is going to take roots.
Did it really start, Ben?
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, the Ger Rebbe, the first son of Rosh Hashanah, you also a Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe, whatever the Rebbe does, that's what you do. The Ger Rebbe, on the first son of Rosh Hashanah, he called, bring me a Gemara. It was scheduled. We're going to start this coming Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And after they finish Meir from the first son of Rosh Hashanah, he made it public now, bring me a Gemara Brachas. And they brought a Gemara Brachas. And he started publicly to learn the Daf Yomi, and the Rebbe learns, the Chassidim learn, and there was a history, and not only, and other people, and also by this Knesiyah Gedolah, The Chavetz Chaim told him, it's a great idea and I want to help you. I want you to come late. And when you come, I'm going to stand up. And that's going to, the whole Olam is going to stand up when I stand up. And then when you're going to talk, they're going to listen. And it's going to take root. So Chavetz Chaim, he starts, Chavetz Chaim said about this, he's mekaneh. He's not mekaneh the fact that he made the zechus of the Daf Yomi, but schar mitzvah mitzvah. What zechus did Rav Meir Shapiro have?
What mitzvah did he do?
What did he do? What did he do before that was the trigger of schar mitzvah mitzvah? No one knows. It is a secret. No one knows. I'm in the peanut gallery. Here I am in the peanut gallery. I want to throw out a dart and make a suggestion what he did. I'm crazy, right? I'm totally crazy.
Did you read his history, biography?
Almost nothing. I have at home handwritten letters from him. Wow. His own handwriting to my great-grandfather, the Rei Sharaf. I have seven letters that he wrote to my great-grandfather. My grandfather, they were involved in, well, my grandfather to him, back in correspondence. They were very close. My great-grandfather, Rav Aaron Levine, was very close with the Meir. They both together were members of the Polish Sejm, which is like the Senate, Parliament. They were together. I have pictures of them together in the Polish Sejm. They both represented Klal Yisrael in the Polish Parliament. They were very close. In fact, if you want to get into his yeshiva, so it wasn't like today you just go on and get on a bus, you go in the car, you get an Uber, and you get to the Bechina. You live very far away. You had to deal with different people that would test you. So my great-grandfather was an official tester. You go to a Bechina, but my great-grandfather, and if my great-grandfather says, good, then you're accepted into the yeshiva, into the Chachmei Lublin. So I'm a nobody, you are a nobody. Okay? I'm a nobody. And I'm throwing a dart. And I'm telling you the zchus. You know what the zchus was? In order to get into yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, you had to be tested on, I think, 100 daf gemara.
Wow.
That wasn't enough. Mark, what's the big deal? You learned Shas already 20 times. You know already. 2,711 daf. You know 100 daf gemara inside out. That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. You were also thoroughly tested on Chumash and Rashi. When to get out of yeshiva, to leave the yeshiva, to get your diploma, to leave the yeshiva, you were tested on 1,000 daf, I think. And what else? No. Chumash Rashi. You would test on Chumash Rashi to get in, and the same Chumash Rashi to get out.
You wanted to make sure you kept up.
Isn't that amazing? You would test on Chumash Rashi to get in and Chumash Rashi to get out. You know what that says about what he understood about how he appreciated Chumash Rashi? It is an incredible insight into the thinking of Rav Meir Shapiro. Chumash, he was a very young man. He died very young, very tragic, very young. And the yeshiva was destroyed. They burnt the whole yeshiva down, the Nazis. They burnt all the svarim. He had a library. What?
I was in that yeshiva.
You went to, they rebuilt it. They rebuilt it. But that's an incredible insight. I heard this from a Yisachar friend. I heard from a Yisachar friend. He gave a whole drush on this. Chumash Rashi. It goes to show an incredible insight. Who do that today? You know, any Rosh Shiva today that would think like that? You know, any Rosh Shiva, first of all, they would never test for the Chumash Rashi, period. Who would ever think like that? You want to come to my yeshiva? You have to know Chumash Rashi. You have to know Chumash Rashi. And when you want to leave my yeshiva, I don't want to send out Talmidim into the world that don't know Chumash Rashi. I don't care what you learned here for 5 years. I don't care what you know, Kol Torah Kula, you know, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, you know Chumash Rashi?
What does it mean to leave yeshiva?
I guess it means to get smicha. I think it means to get smicha. You want to get smicha. He gave smicha to become a rabbiner. You had no Chumash Rashi. So here I am, a nobody of a nobody. I'm telling you, that was what he did. That was what he did. He taught us here today, the world. The Iker is Chumash Rashi. You know Chumash Rashi? Now you can have Daf Yomi. I'm just saying total nonsense, but is it really nonsense?
No.
Okay? Chumash Rashi. He didn't say Navi. He didn't say
Chumash.
Chumash Rashi. It's an incredible insight. Okay? Chumash Rashi. That was Rav Meir Shapiro. He had an appreciation. Zuchuso Yogein Aleinu. Okay? I'm telling you, I take now these Bechinas. You got to take these Bechinas. Yeah, I do it. It changed my life. It really changed my life. Take a Bechina. It's so easy. Take a Bechina every week. Until 10 o'clock, you can take the Bechina from Mitzvah Shabbos until 10 o'clock. It's basically through email. It's a Google Docs. You get an email. You don't even need to have internet. You can do it on Google, do Google Docs, and they ask you multiple choice questions, 15 multiple choice questions. They're not easy, and they're not... What?
You get any checks? They send a check?
They do. They give money. They do give money. If you get $100, if you get over an 80, for each chumash. If you get over an 80 average, on each, so you get $500 a year, and they send me for Pesach this beautiful O'Nuts package. They send everyone and all the participants $20,000. Someone donor gave $20,000. Everyone got this beautiful O'Nuts, and most, it's an incredible thing, most wives did not have a clue that their husband was doing these Bechinas, and they gave a Pesach this beautiful O'Nuts package. What's this? You take Bechinas on Chumash Rashi? You can't even do the laundry. It was an eye-opener. This past Pesach, it was a major eye-opener for a lot of people when they send these gift packages from O'Nuts. Okay, it's an incredible thing. The person who runs this program...
Women can take it too, right?
Oh, so I asked the person. I know the person who runs this very, very well, Bauman, Rabbi Daniel Bauman. So he told me it's... I said, well, can women take it? Oh, I saw his eyes rolling. He had a lot of grief from this because there are women who... They never really opened this up for women. He says there are women that secretly are taking it. Whoever got in, but we're not promoting this for women. Why not? I asked him. He told me. No, he. I don't remember what he told me. He had good reasons. No, he had reasons. Whatever. It's. Don't worry. The women also can learn Chumash Rashi. Not every woman. You know, one of the things they used to teach us when I was, they teach us. You go out when you're gonna start dating. You know, you're gonna go out with a girl. You're gonna be put to. So it tells us you're in high school. You learn Gemara, right? Oh, when you're gonna start dating. Oh, you're gonna go with these girls. They're gonna rip you to shreds. They know Nach. They know Nach inside out. They know every Radak. They know Chumash. And you, what do you know? You know nothing. Then guess what? It's not true. Not all the girls know. Don't worry. There are boys who know, and there are girls who know, but most girls, they don't know nothing. Don't go into this baloney. Oh, the girls know everything.
Better off when one doesn't know anything.
No, I didn't say that. Chas v'shalom. Don't go tell me every girl knows the whole baloney. Okay, every right doc. Come on, baloney. Total baloney.
Okay.
All right, everybody, so we're getting way off topic. Yeah.
Someone introduced his idea to me.
Yeah.
He posted a sign.
Chumash Rashi?
Yeah. I won't take a test.
What?
He's talked about. But I was inspired. I add on to my...
Baruch Hashem. It's an incredible thing. I'm telling you, in Chumash Rashi is all the yesodos of Emunah. Everything there to be a good person, an erlich person, all the yesodos of Emunah are in Chumash Rashi. It's magic. It's total magic. You spent on Chumash Rashi. Now over here, there's a shocking Taz. The Taz says about the Marik. The Marik, he doesn't know Chumash Rashi. It's unbelievable. What he says, the Taz Toma al Hamarik. Eichu soiver she'adam in chay bechvod alvimo. Eich, these are his words. The Taz. What a shocking. Eich nela mimenu perish Rashi b'chumash. The Marik doesn't know Chumash Rashi. You can't get a... This is below the belt. This is the lowest insult you can say about a person. Talk about even the Ravid, who said about the Rambam, Ein loy moyach b'kod kodoy. That doesn't come to this insult. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. They're going to kill me. The Taz is going to kill me for this. Ein that. Even what the Ravid said about the Rambam does not come to the insult to say about a person. he doesn't know Chumash Rashi. That's a pretty, it's an incredible, this is like mind-boggling what I'm telling you over here, what the Taz says about the Marik. So there's a mitzvah to save the Marik. The Marik is such an insult. Such an insult. You have to save the Marik. So we have to the rescue. To the rescue we have Rabbi Felder. It's not the Felder, it's the Shach. A lot of, everyone goes to town to save the Marik from this incredible insult. And we already told you the end. We said the answer. What is the answer? What is the answer? There's a very big, the answer is that the case of the Gemara is going where he's not alive. The Shulchan Aruch that says Yechayev, the Ramah that says that a person is Chayev, Kvoid is Chayev, in Kvoid Aviv, Yoiser Mechvoid Zekenai. So we said, what is the Chayev to give cover to a grandfather? We had a Chakira. Is it because there's a Chayev Be'etzem? A grandfather needs covered. Now, I didn't tell you the Makar for this, but maybe the Makar, I don't know, I didn't see this anywhere. Maybe I did see this. I don't know, maybe another Sefer, is the Chiv to cover the grandfather comes from the Hoidatem Levonecha Ulevnei Vonecha Yoim Asher Amarata Lefnei Hashem Lokecha Bechoyrev. There is a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that you shall tell to your children and ulevnei vonecha yoim asher amarata shlosh dechirois. If your grandfather has an obligation to teach you, v'loidatem levonecha levnei vonecha yoim asher amarata shlosh dechirois, and it says your grandfather, there's a chiv of the grandfather, this is very serious business, then that automatically misvara demands reciprocation to give cover to your grandfather. If he is responsible for the third next generation, that's a revelation. A grandfather has an obligation to pay the tuition for the grandchildren. Just joking. But that's what it says. You have to make sure. You got to make sure that you know what happened. Okay? That's a precedent. Automatically, that demands reciprocation. You see that there's a bond. There is a bond between the grandfather and the grandson. So that's an achir be'etzem. Or you can say it's a svara. No, there's no chiv be'etzem. But if I have to give cover to my father, and my father has to give cover to the grand for his father, so if A equals B, B equals C, A equals C, it's a svara. It's a gemara. Shribud derbi nasan. Oh, you'll tell me that's chesha mishpat, and this is yoredeya. Don't confuse me with the facts. Once already, you see there's a principle of A equals B and B equals C by dinim mamonis. Of Momoin, that C can come be Taveya from A. It's a Svara. If I'm Chayav to give cover to my father, my father's Chayav to give cover to the grandfather, I'm Chayav to give cover to the grandfather. L'may nafkemina, if the father dies and the grandfather is still alive, when does the Gemara Masech Makkah say that the grandson is allowed to kill the grandfather? Binoy shel haruk, because the father's dead. The grandfather killed his son. So there is no father anymore. So the son now is going to be the Goyal Hadam to go kill the grandfather. The only time the son is chayiv to kill the grandfather is because there is no father. The chain has been broken. So enochinami, if there is no father, the chain has... So in other words, from the Gemara it's mashma, that the chiv of giving cover to a grandfather be'ikor is not because of the haidatem levonecha levnei vonecha yoim asher amat levashem lekech v'chayev. It's because if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. Memela, that's only when there's a B. But if there's no B, the chain has been broken, then you're mechuyev to give cover. You're no longer chayev to give cover to the grandfather. So it's not a stira. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, when he says that a person is chayev to give cover to the grandfather more than the father, that's when they're both alive. They're both alive. The father is alive. The grandfather is alive. Ah, if A equals B, B equals C. A equals C. But the Marik. The Marik that says that there's no chiyuv, and he's quoting the Gemara, besides the fact that we have this whole discussion, who wins? when you have a medrash, how could the Taz ask even the question? That's a, how could the Taz ask the question? There was the whole counter argument. You're insulting the Marik. The Marik is a Gemara, and you're quoting from a medrash. Medrash in the Talmud Bavli, who wins? The Bavli wins. So what is the Taz insulting? What is the Taz insulting the Marik? The Marik is right. It's a machlokes, the Bavli and the Medrash. It's not a machlokes. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The Medrash is discussing when they're both alive. The Magmar is discussing when one dies. And the Chiyuv is A equals B, B equals C, Memela A equals C, but there is no longer a father. That's why you're allowed to kill the grandfather, because there's no father. There are Amars, quoting from the Medrash, when they're both alive. What's the major flaw in this argument? The flaw is so major, I'm shocked that no one over here has walked out of the shir in protest. Because the Medrash is discussing Yaakov Avinu bringing Korbanos for the Kei of Yitzchak. Rashi says, Chayev Yoiser, guess what? Avraham already died. He already died at this time. So he's no longer. See, it's not Shakasha, because the case of the Marik is going where the father died. This case, Yitzhak already died. Yitzhak died. So the whole thing is not. It's not the, our discussions is where you want to bring around where the father and the grandfather are alive. Who do you give more cover to? The case of the Medrash, Yaakov Avinu, he brings a carbon, Vayizvach Zvachim L'Elokei Yitzchak. Guess what? Yitzchak died already. If you make the calculation, he would have been 190 years old at this moment in time. Can't go to the calculation now. How long did Yitzchak live? 180. So in Yaakov Avinu... Which 10 years, 7 years. So when he went down to Egypt, he already died. So they're both not alive. Yitzchak is not alive, and Avraham is not alive. So what are you telling me? The case of the Medrash, which is the Ramah, is where they're both alive. They're both alive. And the Marik is where the father died, and the grandfather is alive. Excuse me, but the case of the Marik is even a bit worse, because they both died. So there's no kibbutz altogether, because no one's alive anymore. Okay, so you milfalpel, you can imagine, you can work with the principle. The principles are still that there is a concept. There is still a concept. Here in Taka, they both died. Now they're both equal, they both died. It's also a matter of giving COVID, whatever, you can be milfalpel, but you can basically say elu vi elu divrei Elokim chayim. The bottom line over here, take out of this sort of here is that halacha lemaisa, we do give COVID to a grandfather. They had tznei dinim in giving COVID to a grandfather. Number one, A equals B and B equals C. Number two, v'yoydatam levonecha levonei vonecha. Next thing to appreciate is the machloik is between the Bavli and the Medrash. The Medrash is going over here the case of Yitzchak, and then there's a Gemara Astir in the Gemara, the case of Ari Miklat, the Goel Hadam. There, and there's really not there. You have to appreciate that the reason why there is no cover to the grandfather is because the father died. That takes care of some of that issue. But the case of the Medrash, they both died. All right, there are different elements. And the only thing we left out is that this concept of A equals B, B equals C is not so simple, because what about if your mother and your father both ask you to give them a cup of water? What do you do? What do you do? You give to your father. Why? What's a makar for A equals B, B equals C? Because your mother is also chayiv in giving cover to her husband. So if your mother asks for a cup of water and your father asks you, you give to your father to see. But you give to your father, because your mother is also a chayiv.
How come we don't say who asked
first? Let's say they asked at the same time.
I understand.
I don't know. Yeah, who asked first? Is it such a halacha? Maybe you're right. Maybe
your
right. So if your grandfather and your father ask for a cup of water, who would you give first? L'char, you say the same argument. You say the same argument is because my father's chayiv in the covet. On the other hand, it's not equivalent. It's not the same. Because v'harayah, let's say your parents would be divorced. And they would both ask you at the same time, who would you give to? Whoever you want. So a grandfather.
The Gemara makes, though, is the case if it starts to say one is in the house and one is not. You know.
Okay. All right. So the truth is, it's not so simple. There's another whole way to learn the Ramah, which we can't do anymore. The Ramah is another whole. There's pumfakert. There's a whole other way. Sometimes poskim say is that a grandfather's covenant comes first. We don't pass it like that. But there are shittas that hold that in a chanami, they go to such an extreme that a grandfather really does come first, derech klal. I'm forgetting what I wanted to say. But halacha lemaisa, there is no doubt about it. We do give cover to a grandfather for two reasons. A equals B, B equals C. And number two is, v'hoidatem levonecha ulevnei vonecha. There's an independent chiv of a grandfather representing the mesorah. He represents the mesorah, and that demands covered in its own right. All right, we'll stop over here.